It's great to see everyone. It's great to be with the young folks. I've been married over 15 years. And hopefully, I'm going to be able to share some things we've learned and mistakes we've made. Amen? And but things we've learned over the years to help us in our marriage. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Father, for giving us our spouses. We thank you, Father, for just how you brought us together, because again, we know that it wasn't by accident. But Father, we know that we have a lot to learn in learning to live together and to have great marriages. I pray, Father, that everything we're going to talk about tonight will bring us closer to each other, will help us to remember, Father, how good it needs to be, Father. I pray, Father, we'll have the kind of marriages that are very attractive to other people, so that, Father, they too can enjoy what we enjoy. We thank you for Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's talk about building up your marriage. Okay? I'm going to be saying a lot. So if you can, I'd love for us to take notes. Because I promise you, you're not going to remember everything I say. But at least you can write it down and take a look at it later on. Everyone's goal is to have a great marriage. Amen?
Amen.
And obviously, as Christians, God's idea of marriage is for life. It's until death do us part. Amen?
Amen.
And so, it's not one of those things where when everything is going great, yeah, we're married. When it's not going great, well, I'm walking. It doesn't walk. We don't do that in the church. We don't do that in this church. And we are never going to do that. Amen?
Amen.
And so, what we've got to learn to do is, how do we learn to live with each other? And learn to grow, to continue to love each other. Because really, from the day we get married, you know, as the years go on, the marriage needs to get better. Amen?
Amen?
I can honestly tell you, for my wife and I, it's going to be 18 years in a couple of weeks, I'm more in love with her today than I was when I first married her.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm not just saying that because, quote unquote, I'm a preacher. I honestly mean that. Okay? It has gotten better and better and better and better. That's why I'm looking forward to the next 18 after that. If we're still around here. You know, on this earth. Are you with me? But you see, I want us to remember why we got married. At some point in your life, you met that man, you met that woman, and you say, you know what? I want to spend the rest of my life with you. Nobody else. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. We went out. You couldn't wait to get out of work. Brothers, you found every excuse to call her up. The sisters were waiting by the phone. I wonder if he's going to call me. When you showed up and you had that date, you complimented her. Oh, you look good. You noticed the haircut. You noticed everything. And all of a sudden now, you've been married for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
She's not hearing all those things anymore. Why is that? And we've got to remember the things we did at first.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that can happen in a marriage is, as the years go on, we start taking each other for granted.
Yeah, come on.
And that's where the problem starts. But you see, marriage takes work. To have a great marriage takes a lot of work. It doesn't just happen. You got to work at it. And especially brothers, because, again, God has called us to lead our families and to lead our wives. We really need to work at it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, we're going to look at one scripture today. Just one. All right? And you will understand why in a second. Look in Proverbs chapter 14, in verse 1. Because, again, you know, I can sit here and give you a bunch of scriptures that you a lot of you already know. But what I want to hopefully talk about tonight is talk about a lot of practical stuff.
Amen.
That I think is going to help us day to day. Amen?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 1. It says, the wise woman builds a house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. Now, I don't believe that's just talking to men, to women. Okay, it's also talking to men. The wise man builds his house, but with his own hands, a foolish man tears his down. And I wanted us to look at this verse because a lot of times we do things and we engage in things and we're tearing down our marriages without realizing it. We're tearing down our own homes without realizing it. Okay? And so, forgive me, the first part of this lesson, I want to talk about how to tear your marriage down. And as I talk through these things, I want you to ask yourself as you're listening and you're taking notes, if you see yourself in any of this. Maybe it's just me that I've committed all these sins. But I don't think so. Okay? But here are some of the things that we do to tear down our marriages. And then obviously we're going to end with the thing that we need to do to build it up, which is basically the opposite of the first things we're going to be talking about. Are you guys with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Again, I ask, see if you see yourself in any of this. Let's talk about 8 ways to destroy and trash your marriage. Number 1, be selfish. We're talking about insisting on having your own way, making demands of your spouse instead of requests, just always thinking about yourself, putting yourself first. That's a great way to destroy your marriage and to tear it down by being selfish. Number 2, pick at each other. Do what annoys your spouse intentionally and very often. I'm being sarcastic, obviously. But you guys see the point I'm making. Be critical of even the smallest things. Pick on every little detail. Don't let your spouse get away with anything. Just pick a fight every time. And make sure you get in the last word on every argument. Okay? But the whole idea is pick at each other. Number 3. We're talking about 8 ways to trash your marriage. Let the kids be more important. Let the kids be more important. Allow the kids to crowd out your alone time. Put the needs of the kids before that of your spouse. And I'm not just talking to sisters here. Brothers also do it. But put the kids first. Make them more important than your spouse. You know, I think sometimes we forget that, you know what, it was to our wives and our husbands that we said, you know what, I'm going to love you, I'm going to be faithful to you until I die. And the kids come along, God blesses us with them. And all of a sudden now, they become the main attraction. And you forget very quickly that those kids, sooner or later, they're going to leave. Yeah. They're walking out the door.
Right.
And then you guys are going to be there looking at each other. And those kids are gone.
Hallelujah.
And it's very sad because you see more and more of that these days where people, their kids grow up and they leave to go off to college and then the parents get a divorce. Because the marriage wasn't great. They were not close to each other. The thing that kept them together was those children. But you cannot do that.
Right.
If not, you're asking for trouble. Right. Number 4, we're talking about 8 ways to destroy and trash your marriage. Show disrespect. Show disrespect. Number 4. Show disrespect, especially in public. And heaven forbid in front of your kids to your spouse. Engage in name calling. Again, especially about things they cannot change. Engage in the name calling. You're weak. You're a loser. Just engage in stuff like that. Complain about your spouse to your friends and your family. Complain about your spouse to your friends and your family. Use plenty of non-verbal communication. Heavy sighs. Roll your eyes. Be quiet. Brothers, give the silent treatment. Never say thank you. Raise your voice if you have to. Scold your wife like a kid. Sisters, lecture him. Ridicule him. His thoughts, his feelings, his dreams, his behavior. Show no mercy. Show disrespect. Number five. Refuse to meet your spouse's emotional needs. Refuse to meet your spouse's emotional needs. Don't bother meeting each other's needs. Husbands, show no affection. Don't talk. Be dishonest. Don't provide the financial support the family needs. Show no appreciation. Make her worry about the finances. Wives, no sex. Don't look attractive. Don't be his companion. Don't show him any admiration. Number six. Treat your friends better than you treat your spouse. Treat your friends better than you treat your spouse. We're talking about 8 ways to destroy your marriage. Treat your friends better than you treat your spouse. Number seven. Men, be a pansy. What do I mean by that? Be totally passive. Don't lead or show any kind of initiative. You know, if you don't lead and you're not taking the initiative, if anything goes wrong, nobody can blame you. Just be there. Just be there. Totally passive. Don't do anything. Wives, sisters, be his mother. Tell him what to do all the time. Wear a coat. Carry an umbrella. Tell him everything. Remember, he couldn't figure it out before he met you. We laugh, but we do it.
Yeah.
Number eight. When you are angry, blow up. Yell and scream if you have to, even in front of the kids. Remember that inflicting pain is the most important thing. Call each other names in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the emotion, excuse me. Always bring up the past. Hey, if you're angry enough, you want to hit your spouse, go ahead and do it. Obviously, I'm not advocating anything I've just said in the last, I don't know, 10 minutes. But even as Christians, if we're not careful, these kind of things, they creep into our marriages.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
They creep in. And we got to be very, very, very careful. Obviously, the opposite is the solution. Because at one point, we looked at our spouses and we said, you know what? I love you. I cherish you. I'm going to be faithful to you until the day we die. And that spouse is not going anywhere. You are not going anywhere. Are you with me? We had a lot of dreams. And we look forward to a great life together. And the truth of the matter is, as life goes on, there is one person that does not want us to be happy. And that's the devil.
Yeah.
Because when we're at each other's throats and we're going after each other, then the devil is having a ball.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Because not only does he want us to fail, he wants our kids to fail. Because what happens is, our kids see us in those situations and they're like, I'm not getting married. I'm not going to, if you have a girl and you're acting like this, you know, for the brothers, she's saying, you know what, I hope I never marry a man that, the way I saw my father treating my mom, or no. And vice versa. I remember growing up, my parents went their separate ways when I was very young. But I remember one occasion, very vividly, where my parents actually went at each other and they were fighting physically. And somebody had to come in and step in between them. And I remember growing up saying, you know what? I never want to be like him. Because I thought that was the weakest thing you could do, for a man to raise his hand against his wife. Mm-hmm. And I saw my father do it. But I hated him for that. For years, and I never said anything. But deep down inside, I never wanted to grow up to be someone like that. Mm-hmm. And I share that because the way we're living right now, and whatever is going on in our homes, our kids are watching. Yeah. And our marriages, is it going to cause them to, hey, I can't wait to get married. Or, you know what, I don't want anything to do with this. As a matter of fact, studies show right now that a lot of people don't want to get married simply because, first of all, marriages are failing left, right, and center. And they never really saw the example in their parents. Right. And so this Generation X or whatever it is they call themselves, most of them don't want to get married. Right. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You see, marriage is about meeting each other's needs. We got to make it an enjoyable adventure and journey. Amen? It's got to be that. One of the things I believe is very important is knowing how your spouse defines love. You see, everybody defines love differently.
Yeah.
A lot of times we may think, you know what, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this because I love my wife or I love this person. And to them, okay, it's okay, but that's not the way they define love. What do I mean by that? Some of us, we've gone through, what do you call this thing? Marriage Dynamics, okay? I read that book many, many years ago, before, you know, Marriage Dynamics even came about, in terms of his needs and her needs. It's a great course to take, by the way, if you've never gone through it. It will help you tremendously. But later on, a few years ago, another book came out calling The Five Languages of Love. How many of you have ever read that book? Okay? Tremendous book. It's one of those books, again, you need to have in your library if you're a married person. Okay? It's not very expensive, about $12. And it talks about how men have different needs from women. Okay? Duh! You know? But it's like, you know, when we got married, nobody told us that. All right? Now, we're all married people in here. And so, you know, I'm going to say some things, and I'm not going to be embarrassed, because we're all married men and women. Okay? Now, in a lot of studies, it has shown that a man's number one emotional need is sex. That's the number one need of a guy. Okay? Sex. Now, again, we got to learn to, what do you call it, meet each other's needs. Again, the way God created us men, you know, we're stimulated mostly by sight. You know, you see your spouse in a nice outfit or whatever it is, and, you know, hey, it's like, honey, can we get down? That's just the way God created us. Okay? Now, that's our number one need. Now, unfortunately, for women, it's not sex. It's actually something called affection. Okay? I had to learn that. It's like, what do you mean affection? Yeah, my tone of voice throughout the entire day matters. The way I treat her the entire day matters. You know, it's not just at night when the room is dark and then, she, you know, my hand goes over. It shouldn't work that. It's not like that. You know, the hand in the dark. But you see, for a woman, it's affection.
Amen.
And understanding each other's needs and desiring to meet those needs make a difference. It makes a tremendous difference. Affection, what am I talking about? Something as small as holding hands.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, what happens a lot of times is, you know, when we're dating each other, we're out in public, we're holding hands. I can tell newlyweds when I see them out in the street. You can tell them too.
It's true.
As a matter of fact, I use it a lot of times to start talking to people. You know, you see them, they're all wooing each other, and I'll go, So how long have you been married? How did you know that? I said, I know. I can tell. And sometimes all you can see is the engagement ring, and I say, so when are you getting married? How did you know that? Oh, please. I've been around a long time. I can tell. But you see, we hold hands. We used to hold hands. Now what happens is the kids start coming. And all of a sudden, instead of holding your spouse's hand, you're holding the kid's hand.
That's true.
Okay? There's a very simple solution to that. All right? Have your spouse on one side, hold that hand, and have the kid on your other side. Let the other kid hold the other kid's hand. That was what I found to get around it. Because like, wait a second, I'm always holding the kid. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, we're not holding hands anymore. It's very important to continue the affection.
It's good.
One of the things that my wife and I do, and it's been several years now, I can't even remember when we started. We just started, you know what? Before we leave the house, and when we come back, we're going to give each other a hug. No matter what. Because the truth of the matter is, when I leave that house, or when she leaves, there's no guarantee she's coming back. I know people where their wives left to go do something and, your spouse is gone. And I want the last memory I have of her and of me is to be that, you know what, I gave her a hug. And then she left. Very, very important. And so, when each of, you know, somebody goes out and they come back, we go find the other person. We get our part of the house there and we hug them. Very important. Because again, you never know.
Yeah.
There's a brother, some of us may know him, Ben Barnett. And he tells a story every time where the day he lost his mother. They came home. The mother said, you know, I got to run to the store to go do something. She left. Car accident. They came and told, sorry, the wife's gone. So his father literally raised him and his brother up. I can't imagine what that must feel like. Not having a chance, quote unquote, to say bye.
Yeah.
Okay? But again, I'm talking about little things like that. Where, okay, you're watching television. Go sit. Tell her to come sit next to you. Hold her hand. Don't be sitting on the couch watching 24 and then she's over here. You know, do it together. It's little things like that. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But it's important that we meet each other's needs.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Say, well, I don't know how she defines love. I don't know how he defines love. Great place to start. Why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask her? What? How do you define love? What do you feel I need to grow in? Amen?
Amen.
And then, put those things into practice. Again, I can't remember when my wife and I were talking one time, and she said, you know, Rich, the only three people that call me Rich, she's one of them. She goes, Rich, I just love for you to open the door to the car, you know, the door to the car for me. Every once in a while. I was like, whoa, okay. That's when I realized I stopped doing it. You know, we're running somewhere, I'm just getting the car, she's getting her side, you know what I'm saying? Like, something as simple as that. Now, when I was dating, I was doing it. No, nobody told me to do it. I wanted to do it. But it's little things like that we got to get back to. Amen? We also need to understand that there are things in our backgrounds, as we grew up, that has not determined who we are. Okay? And we need to know those things so that we can be sensitive to them. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
We all have things in our backgrounds that have now determined who we are. But the most important thing is that let's remember the things that caused us to be attracted to each other in the first place.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You started dating your wife, you started dating your husband, and then one day it hit you. You know what? I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. To the exclusion of everybody else. And you couldn't wait. See, that's what we got to recapture and make sure goes on throughout our marriages. Amen?
Right.
And before I start talking about the opposite of the things we've been talking about for the last several minutes, Ask yourself this question. It's a very sobering one. Would your kids imitate your marriage? Would your kids imitate your marriage? Would you want your daughters to marry a guy the way you're treating their mom? And vice versa. Or would you want your son to marry a woman the way you treat their dad? If the answer is not yes, then you need to change radically. Because our kids are going to have struggles.
Yeah.
I mean, we have only so many years to prepare them for the world. And I'm telling you, when they leave our homes, when they go off to college, when they get out there, your marriage may be the only thing that eventually saves them.
Wow.
Where they go, you know what? I'm out here. This place is a mess.
Yeah.
I got to marry me a disciple.
Yeah.
Because my parents were disciples. And I saw the way they treated each other. Yes, they had their issues. But boy, they always worked it out. They always took it to God. Their love for each other continued to grow.
Come on.
And that may be the only thing that saves them. Amen?
Amen.
So let's talk about 8 things that build up your marriage, obviously. Number one, again, it's just the opposite of all the things I've been talking about. Fight selfishness and develop a servant's heart. You know what Jesus said? Jesus says, I am amongst you as one who serves. Okay. See, marriage is not 50-50. It's 100%, 100%. In other words, I'm going to give everything I have, even if this person does not reciprocate. I think too many times we worry about, you know what, if I do this, they're just going to keep taking advantage of me and walk over me. No. Sooner or later, the light's going to go off. You be a servant. You serve your spouse, serve your husband, serve your wife. Amen? And they will reciprocate. You can't say, okay, I'll take one step, you take one step towards me. It doesn't work that way. You need to be the husband you need to be. You need to be the wife that you need to be. But you need to be totally selfless. Amen?
Amen.
Commit to acting in the best interest of your spouse. And I want to encourage you to do at least one unselfish deed for your spouse every day. Do one unselfish deed every day for your spouse. Richard didn't do one for me yesterday. So, you just do one unselfish deed for your spouse every day. It may be something as small as bringing her coffee. It may be something as small as, hey, you know what? I'll take the address. Let me iron it for you. Whatever it is. Oh, honey, I cleaned your shoes for you. Whatever. Just do one unselfish deed for your spouse every day. And you watch what happens.
Do they have to know you did it?
No, just do it. She's not dumb. She'll figure out where that came from. Okay? But just do one unselfish deed for your spouse every day. Number two, be gracious. You know, we're all saved by grace. We're all sinners. And God has forgiven us of so much. We're going to learn to forgive each other. The Bible does say that, you know, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. That's why you can't keep things in. You got to let it go.
Right.
You know, if you think about it, you and I have committed worse sins towards God. How are we going to, who are we to hold this thing, this one thing against our spouse? Okay? I know that's one thing I have to always constantly fight against. When someone does something, I want to put her in a doghouse. And it's like, man, that you know, she really messed up on that one, and boy, okay, I'm gonna make her pay for this one. But it's not a good place to be. It's so unlike Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus wouldn't put me in the doghouse. So what right do I have to put her in one?
That's right.
Okay. And usually, again, I have to go up and go pray, and then I'm feeling better. But you gotta learn to be gracious. You gotta learn to let things go. You know, like I said earlier, in a couple of weeks, it's going to be 18 years since we've been married. And I can honestly tell you, in our 18 years of marriage, nothing has ever come up where we're settling something and my wife has ever brought up the past. Not once. If she's going to do it, maybe next week. She hasn't done it yet. Because again, we take that those verses about in 1 Corinthians 13 very, very seriously.
Yeah.
That love does not keep a record of wrongs. Right.
Good.
I'm not going there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, back in 1945 you did this and you said this. No. You're just tearing down your house. Amen?
Amen.
But if you're gracious, you're going to learn to let things go. Remember, the Bible says love covers up a multitude of sins.
Amen.
Okay? Number three. Put your marriage before your kids. By that I mean, you need to continue to go out on dates. Find somebody to babysit. You can work something out with another couple. You know what? On this night, you take our kids, babysit, watch them. We're going to go out and have a good time. This weekend, we'll take your kids. You guys go out and have a good time.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah.
Okay? It shouldn't just be, again, anniversaries, whatever, that we just take the week, a day off and just go be with our spouses. It's very important. You need that time. And it's amazing. Around Georgia, there's a lot of places you can go. Bed and breakfast. You know, even sometimes some of these major hotels, they'll have, you know, a room that normally, you know, rents for $200 a night. They'll give it away for $80. I'm always looking for those things. You know? It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll walk out of the babysitting and we just disappear.
Yeah.
I can't wait for my kids to go off to college. And they know. I tell them. I love them. But I'm looking forward to the day where, you know, I'm just sitting there and Lufthansa sends me this stuff about, oh, you can go to Venice and come back in $500. I'm going to look out, why? Let's go. I'll be gone for 3 days and I'm back. But with the kids, you got to worry about who's going to watch them and all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to them leaving. I really am. There's nothing wrong with that. Those days are coming. Okay? They're coming a lot quicker than you think. But again, I'm saying don't wait till then. In the interim, you know, take time out. Not just anniversaries and stuff. You know, yeah, we have this, what do you call it, this weekend? This festival of faith. I hope you haven't forgotten that Sunday is Valentine's Day.
Right.
I gotta be honest with you. You know, it was last Saturday. I said, wait a second. Next Sunday is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
My week is all booked up. I told one of my dads, hey, you want to hang out with me? Let's go out. Well, where are we going? I gotta go find your mother some gifts. And so we went out. And I got some stuff. Because I knew this week I'm not gonna have the time to do it. But it's little things like that. It's very, very important. Amen?
Amen.
Again, when you go out and you're having that date night, don't be talking about issues. Okay? They say, you know what? I tell Sarah this all the time. We'll be going out and then, you know, we're solving some problem. I say, you know what? I don't want to solve any problems tonight.
Right.
Nothing's going to change in the next few hours.
Amen.
Okay? It's like, I'm not solving any problem tonight. Tonight is just us.
That's right.
Okay? What do you think of that? What do you think of this? Let's go do this, whatever. I mean, we just start talking about no problems. But it's very important. You need that time.
Mm-hmm.
Our night is Friday night. Somebody better be sick for it not to happen, or an emergency. I mean, tomorrow we're having a festival of faith, so, you know, we're not going to have a whatever, but I'm going to make it up. Okay, but every Friday night, if you call me, I'm not going to answer my telephone. I'm with my wife.
Amen?
Amen. Whatever date night you want to have, but make sure it's happening. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes I talk to brothers, and they're like, well, my wife doesn't like to go out. Well, if you put a little bit more thought into it, maybe she would love to go. Again, find out what she loves to do.
Right.
She wants to go to a play, then go to a play. She wants to go to a concert, then, you know, look up something. These guys are always coming around, then go to a concert. I'm not saying every week that's what you do. You know what I'm saying? But make it special. Amen?
Amen?
Very, very important. You know, several months ago, but I think it was about a year ago now, my wife's favorite singer is Patti LaBelle.
Yeah.
And this brother called me up and said, oh, I got some tickets. Do you want to buy them? And what's her name? Patti LaBelle is coming to Chastain. I said, absolutely. So I got two more tickets. So I called Glenn up. I said, Glenn, you want to go? He says, yeah. And so we decided, okay, we're going to take our wives, but we're not going to tell them what's going on. And so we just said, hey, we're going out to Chastain. We didn't even tell them where. We just said we're going out and we're going to listen to some jazz, you know. I said, okay. She saw I packed the dinner and everything, you know. And we got over there. She was, oh, we're Chastain. I said, yeah, you know. We got in there and, you know, Glenn and Sheila showed up. And Anthony and Patsy also showed up. And we had a table. I said, yeah, it's just some jazz we're here to listen to and everything. Then Stephanie Mills comes out. And she's the, you know, she's the whatever you call it, the opening act. And they were like, they're just loving it. And she actually said something about Patti LaBelle. And the wives went, what? I said, she said, you know, when she was singing with Patti, this is what I was, oh, okay. And I succeeded in getting their minds off of Patti LaBelle. And then obviously, you know, Patti started singing from behind the stage and came out, and you should have seen our wives. But see, did that cost money? Yes. But I would do it all over again. And I think sometimes, brothers, We just need to plan ahead.
Amen.
I think too many times we're thinking about the price of something. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's something, listen to me. Listen to me. Okay? It's not every week you're going to be spending money like that. But I'm telling you, it is worth your marriage.
Amen.
Well,
okay? It is definitely worth it. Because you're creating memories.
That's right.
Good.
Okay? You're creating memories that you can never recreate.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, be respectful. Don't say negative stuff about your spouse to other people. Be kind in word and deed. Treat each other with courtesy. Bible does say, show reverence for one another out of reverence for Jesus. Okay? Number five, talk and meet each other's emotional needs. Talk and meet each other's emotional needs. Number six, treat your spouse better than you treat your friends. Be thoughtful and encouraging. Number seven, men, lead your marriages. Be a servant leader. Sisters, be the wife, be the helper God has called you to be. And number eight, express your feelings calmly. Use phrases like, you know what, I'm angry about this. Nobody's saying for you to stuff your feelings, but it's the way you express it. If you're still upset, like I said, what I do is I just go off. You know, there are times when something happens and my wife would actually come to me and say, you know what, you need to go talk to your God. You know, you need to go get with your father. And I get out of the house and I go for a walk. And I'm praying for God to change my heart, for God to help me. He walks every time. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're still upset, go spend some time in prayer.
That's right.
But it's important that you, whatever it is that's bothering you, you talk about it the same day. Don't go to sleep. There have been many nights where, you know, I stay up really late, and my wife does too. But I'm already asleep at 1 o'clock, and she'll come in, and she'll wake me up. We need to talk. Okay. And we talk it through. Apologize to each other. apologize if it's, I'm the one at fault, whatever, and she expresses how she's feeling, or I express how I'm feeling, and it's done. It's over. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm not going to sleep with something on my mind. What if I die in bed that night? Mm-hmm. I'm not taking chance on my salvation. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. Very, very important. Amen?
Amen.
Watch your tone of voice. When we're talking, seek to understand your spouse's viewpoint. Listen. Be gentle. Be caring. Be loving. Brother and sister, if you really think about everything we're talking about tonight, we're just talking about, you know what? Do the things you used to do when you were dating.
Yeah.
It's really that basic. I mean, think about it. All these different things that we've talked about tonight, as far as things that we do, and we're trashing our marriages, and we're tearing our houses down. If you were acting like this when you were going out, would that man have married you, or that woman have married you? No! What changed? We changed. And that's why we've got to go back to those things we used to do at first.
Amen.
Very, very important. Don't tear down your marriage. You got to build it up instead. Brothers and sisters, let's repent. And let's get rid of the bad habits.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. We'll continue to get better and better and better. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Glenn, could you close out with a word of prayer?
Amen.